Good evening, members. Thank you very much for attending this March meeting. We'll get underway. First item is item one, which is apologies, if any. Obviously, Councillor Valerie Hart, Councillor McAvoy, and Councillor Brennan, yeah. Anyone else? Councillor McAteer, Councillor Byrne.
Councillor Brennan's online.
Oh, I don't think I saw you in the building. All right. Item two's chairperson's remarks. So just. Oh, no. Item one's chairperson's remarks. I'll keep you right. So just first of all, we'd like to express our condolences to Mark Murphy, who sadly passed away in a tragic accident on Rathkelter Road. Our thoughts are with his partner, Danielle, his three children, and family circle. Also want to express condolences to the family of Ali Smith, who was buried on the 17th of February following the tragic accident at Coney Island. Want to extend our best wishes to St Malachy's Castleelm, who are in their All-Ireland final this coming weekend. Congratulations to the Down Railway volunteer Jonathan King from Dundrum on winning Volunteer of the Year across the UK and Ireland. Massive congratulations to Harry McVeigh from the Bond School in Castleelm, who made history becoming the youngest winner of the Northern Ireland final of primary school schools across Country League. Massive good luck and congratulations to Owen Rooney from Kilcoo, who flew to England to compete in the PPC Youth Tour qualifiers in darts. Want to congratulate the Saint Faith Community Association on winning the Live Here, Love Here Champion Award for Newry Moran Down District Council. Congratulations to ARC Community Gardens in Newcastle for being recognised as the Live Here, Love Here Community Together Award winner. Also, a great reminder, and I'm sure all councillors will be championing this, that our St Patrick's Day event on Sunday the 17th is in Newry and Downpatrick, and it is certainly being scheduled for a great day, and hopefully we have massive crowds in both Downpatrick and Newry. And lastly, I think it is very important, given the sad news of yesterday, of the all-time down great of Dan McCartan, who sadly passed away. Dan won the All-Ireland medals in 1960, 1961 and 1968. I'm sure we would all want to extend our condolences to the McCartan family at this difficult time. That is everything under chairperson's remarks. Is there any declarations of interest? Not taking comments under chairperson's remarks. So, item two is declarations of interest, if any.
None, Chair.
Nope.
Chair. Okay. Chair, Councillor Brennan here. Section 13 is to do with Warren Point Harbour Authority, and being a board member on that, I think I'm right in considering that that qualifies as a declaration of interest. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Brennan. Actually, it was a good reminder. Just in reference to item 13, we as a council are obviously being asked to have at least six nominations, and ahead of item 13, we would ask party group leaders and independents that if they do wish for their name to be submitted by the council and nominated, if they could submit that ahead of item 13, that we will then come to that item and ask Democratic Services if there is more than six nominations at that point, we would ask for a proposer and seconder. We have to be mindful that this is a recruitment, a public appointment, and obviously it would be unfair to start naming people in a public arena where they need to go through an interview process. So if party group leaders and independents could, if wished, to put nominations through, if you could send it through to Democratic Services before item 13. Okay, item three is the action sheets arising from the council meeting held on the 5th of February 2024. Oh, question item two, sorry, Councillor Enright, declarations of interest.
No, Chair, I was trying to bring up a point on the chairperson's remarks.
All right, okay. I'm not taking you in on it because
it's something you'd want to bring up yourself, Chair.
Pardon?
It's something you would want to bring up yourself.
Well, you should have came to me before the meeting and asked for it, so I'm sure we can talk outside of it. So item three is the action sheets from the council held on the 5th of February. We'll just go page by page for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6, new proposing seconder. Proposed Councillor Hanlon. And he is seconder for it. Seconded by Councillor Finn. And matters arising. Councillor Andrews, it was your say in reference to the action sheet.
It is indeed, Chair, yeah. Yes. I skipped there, but I put myself on the item 3. Just more or less it's to thank the council in question for their correspondence in relation to the recent motion about cystic fibrosis with the medication. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Moving on, item four then is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 5th of February 2024. And we'll go through page by page accuracy. Page one. No, wrong one. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And page 16, proposing seconder for accuracy. Proposed Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Andrews. Any matters arising? No? Okay, moving on. Item 5 is the minutes of the Audit Committee meeting held on the 1st of February. First February 2024. We'll go through it page by page. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and page 8, need a proposer and seconder. Proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Brennan. Councillor Brennan, you weren't there, sorry, just need a seconder that was in attendance. Good, I can second it given I was there. Yeah, okay, I'll second it. Any matters arising? Nope. Okay, moving on to item 6 is the minutes of the Economy, Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 12th of February 2024. Page 1, 2, 3, and I think we could call that a page 4. All right. Proposer and seconder, proposed Councillor Lee Serchner, seconded by Councillor Campbell. Councillor Andrews, you're first with a question.
Thanks very much, Chair. In relation to ERT, agenda number 15, financial assistance call 2, I raised at the last meeting about the accessibility issues for those without internet access. And I'm just wondering, I know Conor mentioned that there was an updated version of a previous online system of the portal, but would there be any possible opportunities, I know raised that, for those who don't have access to the internet? And I'm just wondering, is there any possibility that could be looked into? Thanks, Chair.
Okay. I'll take in the other comments and then bring the answers in. Councillor Truesdale and then Councillor Enright.
Thank you, Chair. If you look at the timings of that committee, you'll see it lasted 16 minutes. Now, nobody wants long, unnecessary meetings when there's no need, and I understand that if items are for noting, they're taking, or otherwise is at the discretion of the Chair, understanding Order 30. I had two relatively short, non-controversial questions which were refused, as is the Chairperson's right, but I really don't think anyone could see a 16-minute committee meeting as good value for time or money, and I felt that there could have been a more respectful view shown towards my requests. I also feel that given the addition of item 14, that this is even more pertinent now. Thank you, Chair.
Uh, I am looking to the chair of the committee if he wishes to respond.
Yeah, Chair, as anybody who's been on the committee from the outset would know that I do not take those items, and I've made that very clear from the first meeting I held. So if the councillor had wished to have those items raised, they could have approached me before the meeting, but that didn't happen.
Thank you, Councillor Rann. Yeah, Councillor Enright, and then Councillor Hannah is next.
Thanks, Chair. Item arising on the first point, flooding of these minutes. There was an announcement today, a welcome announcement, that the Council's holding workshops over the next day or so. But there were a lot of people that have contacted me looking for maybe not just tomorrow, but maybe the next day or the day following, because it's too short notice for some businesses to attend. And if they could throw in an extra workshop later in the week, it would be great.
Councillor Henry, taking that you've finished your item, I think you've confused the minutes of that to a later item, but I'm sure the council officers will take on consideration of additional workshops, but it is a later item. It's not in reference to the minutes of itself, but you've stated your comment. So, Councillor Hannah, and then I'll ask the officers to come back in.
Thanks, Chair. I'm pretty much on the same stream as Councillor Teasdale. To be quite honest with you, the ERT committees have got that short now, so I'm beginning to wonder if there's any scrutiny taking place at all. 15, 16 minutes for a meeting is unbelievable, so it is. I know over the last considerable amount of time I've been prevented from asking questions. The treatment I believe I've received is very draconian, to say the least. Very draconian. There's times it's cut, the chairman just cuts across each statute. And there's times before, say, I have asked a question of the officer. He's tried to answer it, say, has, couldn't answer it, and eventually I did get answering it. There is problems in that committee, so there is. And then last, and a question for the director, and that, why is there so little coming to that committee? Marie was there before, never were we down to that. And if you go back and look through other ERT committee meetings, if it wasn't for notice of motions in that committee, it would be pretty much the same. There's very, very little coming to that meeting. At this minute in time, I know us and the DUP group in there, we have now got concerns about it, so we have. So if the council doesn't address the problem, we'll address it in a different way. So thank you.
Okay, all right. Connor, if you want to come in on the, if you want.
Yeah, Chair, just to come in on the committee aspect of things. So we're doing a review of all of the terms of reference of all the committees and the items that are going to them. I think Connor can speak on the items that have been coming, but I would suggest just the time of year and the term of business, but I'll let Connor speak on that. So we'll pick up your concerns, but matters that have to go to committee generally will go to committee.
Excuse me, if I can pick up on the first question from Councillor Andrews. The previous grant system for flood or for financial assistance was an online only system, and this is similar, that there is no opportunity for paper applications or other, and we have had no concerns raised, or there has been no evidence of people being unable to access applications. So it's an online only process, and that continues on from the previous version of previous years. And with respect to, there was a comment about workshops, and there's a workshop tomorrow and there's one the next day, and if further workshops are required, we are considering having them online, and which would mean they're more accessible to people who maybe can't travel to a physical location. And then in respect of the agenda items, and the workload that's brought forward to the ERT committee is the workload that's required to deliver the work off the ERT directorate, and there has been no hindrance to progress or developing of tasks for that directorate as a result of the agendas that have been discussed and presented to the ERT committee over the last few months. And as Marie says, there is peaks in workload on ERT, and you'll find when the agenda is released tomorrow for ERT next week, it'll be substantial, because we now have the budget agreed and we can start moving forward with implementing all the work of the coming year.
Okay. I could use the approach of Councillor Rana as committee and say you're only allowed in once and not to speak on an item twice, but I will let you back in, Councillor Rowan.
Listen, it's good to see the Alliance and the DUP working closely together on this issue, at least anyway. But if anybody wants to go back over any of the recordings where I have stopped them from speaking on any item that was on the agenda, then they can come and show me.
Okay. All right. Moving on then, folks, to the minutes of the SPNR, Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 15th of February 2024. And we'll go through page by page. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And the proposer and seconder. For the item first, proposed Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor O'Hare. Councillor Truesdale, you have a comment?
Yep, thank you, Chair. In the minutes, Councillor Enright had made mention of the risk register regarding the gondola. When will the risk register be made available to all other councillors?
The risk register is a live document that's used to manage the delivery of the project through the programme board. We are now in the process of appointing a ICT to deliver the next stage of the project through the full business case. The risk register in its draft form will be passed to the ICT for further development, and once they have had a chance to update it, it will be presented at the next programme board meeting as part of the minutes. So there will be an opportunity at that stage to review.
Okay. All right, no further matters on that. Then item 8 is the Minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee, meeting held on the 19th of February, and we'll go page by page. So page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and page 7, proposed by Councillor Lee Sergener and seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Any matters arising? No? Okay. Item 9 is the Minutes of Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 21st of February 2024. And just before I go through page by page, I think it was wrong of me not to acknowledge, but I'll acknowledge now that this is Andrew's last meeting with us. And we certainly will miss you. I don't know how much you'll miss us. But I'm sure you'll enjoy, we'll call it semi-retirement, I'm sure you'll probably find something else to keep you busy. But I would also extend that it is Sinead Murphy's sort of preview of moving into the director's role, so we do wish you very well in your new position and moving forward. But moving back to the minutes, so page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, proposer and seconder, proposed by Councillor Kern, seconded by Councillor Larkin. Councillor Andrews, you have a comment?
Chair, just in similar vein to yourself, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Andrew. I've known Andrew for several years outside the Council and Sustainability NI and all, and during my time on the committee, and as a chair, I found you an absolute pleasure to work with and very helpful. And I wish you all the best in your retirement, Andrew, and all the best in the future. And to Sinead, you're very welcome, and we look forward to working with you in due course. But good luck and all the best. Thanks, Chair, for letting me in.
Okay, thanks. Councillor Riley?
Yes, Chairman, could I just echo your comments about Andrew? I find him to be a very, very professional officer and always prepared to take on board your views of the councillors. And also, Councillor Andrews, that committee is a really, really good committee. There's always a great exchange of views, great flows of information back in front on it. And I think it's a really good committee and an example to the Council Chairman. But certainly, I would thank Mr. Castles for the way he's run the thing to date.
You can add that to your LinkedIn profile now, Andrew. It's not often you get praise from Councillor Riley, but I would be adding it to my CV if I got it. Well, all right. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, sure. Just to echo the comments of previous councillors in terms of Andrew. You've always been very approachable, Andrew, and very easy to work with, I have to say. And it's a good example of, you know, the way you know, a director should be, just in terms of, not no reflection on anybody else. Everybody's approachable here. but most of the time. But I do want to wish you well, Andrew, in wherever things take you after this place. You probably need a good rest, I'm sure, after dealing with us for a while. But certainly could I also offer congratulations to Sinead. She takes on the role. You may have come to regret it at some point, but best wishes, you know, to you. I certainly know from previous dealings you're also very, very good to work with, and I know you'll do the job well. So thanks, Chair.
Right. Should have held off my LinkedIn joke there until I went through all these comments. Thanks, Sir Lee Sergeant.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Andrew, thank you so much for everything. You certainly taught me a lot when I first joined council last term. So best wishes. And Sinead Murphy, well, you know how I feel. I think you're amazing. So it's really good to have you on board. So welcome.
All right. Councillor Hanlon.
Just to welcome Sinead and her new post, and I hope you're very successful. I found you very easy to deal with thus far, so hopefully that will continue. And enjoy your retirement, Andrew. Well deserved.
All right, with two good feed factors up at this top table now, so we're all good. All right, item 10 then is the minutes of the Special Audit Committee meeting held on the 26th of February. 2024, and we'll go page by page. It's literally two pages, page 1 and 2. The proposer and seconder. Proposed by Councillor Hanlon. The seconder. Councillor Devlin. Any matters arising? Councillor Tinley, the item was enclosed.
Yeah.
So we need to go into committee.
I'm not going to discuss the contents of the report, Chairman. I just want to make a few comments on the process, if that's okay.
Yeah, I'll go with it. Councillor Tanner.
Thanks, Chairman. And listen, I just want to say this, Chairman. I accept the decision that the Audit Committee have made here, and I don't wish to dwell on this issue. But I have concerns about the procedure. I think it's important that sort of members know here. This was an investigation that I initiated and asked for, and it came back through the Audit Committee Chairman, and I wasn't even invited to that meeting last week, so I wasn't able to speak on the outcome of the findings. But listen, I just wanted to put that on record. From a procedural point of view, I found it quite extraordinary. But like I said at the beginning, I accept that the Audit Committee have taken a view on the report, and that is our recommendation. So, like I say, I've expended enough energy on this issue, and I'm happy enough, but I just wanted that noted. Thank you.
So I suppose, Councillor Tinley, just for your own information, and I'm sure we can ask Josephine to come in if needed, but as of the previous Audit Committee meeting, at the point that this item was discussed, you were asked to leave the meeting due to the conflict of interest within the item, and similarly with a Special Audit Committee, given that the similar item was being discussed, you wouldn't have been asked to be invited due to the conflict within the item itself. So that's why the meeting was not extended to you, because there would be a clear conflict of interest within the item itself. So I'm sure that's accurate.
That's absolutely correct, Chair. Thank you.
All right. Moving on then to item 11, the minutes of the Special Strategy Policy Resources Committee meeting held on the 26th of February 2024. And it's page 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5. Proposed by Councillor O'Hare, and he is seconder. Seconded by Councillor Quinn. Councillor Lewis, you're first with a question.
Thank you, Chair. It was just to confirm that the Council has written to the Department reference funding for sports and I mean, the groups and check if there's been a reply yet.
Sure, we'll issue the letter after council ratification, but it has been raised previously.
Okay, Councillor Kilbreath.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's just in relation to the floods relief scheme that recently announced. We saw last November how horrendous it was. It was devastation. At the time, my colleague used the term apocalyptic because that's literally what it felt like. Many parts of South Down and beyond were impacted, but when you spent over 40 years growing up in a town, it's terrible to see it been absolutely wrecked in front of your eyes. It was terrible. It was terrible mostly because of the pain that you could see in the eyes of the town's business people, surrounding areas, because they could see their futures being ruined in front of them. Being powerless, as we stood alongside them, there was nothing much that we could physically do at the time. It was very difficult. What we do get is an opportunity afterwards to reflect and ask what things can be done differently to help people much more quickly. Like others in this chamber who stood on those streets over those days, I know that for the first couple of days it was lonely, because no officials from any department or agency were there to help us. That, I'm sure, contributed to the additional impact. Although we have an economy minister now in place, we need to see a whole executive response so that if the flooding recurs in the future, and I hope it doesn't, that there will be a much quicker response that helps people in their time of need. We are looking for financial resources, and it might be unpopular to say this, but it's about time. 4 months or so, businesses have been left with very little help. They're losing their entire livelihood, and to date, 4 months later, some have been given £7.5 grand. They're trying to get their business open and running again on £7.5 grand. They had to try to get through Christmas on £7.5 grand. They're trying to pay wages on £7.5 grand. They're trying to take some money home themselves on that £7.5 grand. 4 months later, we are opening what has been described as an efficient scheme. The British government, the Northern Ireland office, announced £15 million back in December. Civil Service announced £10 million in December. It then appeared that £10 million was part of the £15 million. Then the scheme was about to be announced by the Northern Ireland office at the end of January or at the start of February. That was delayed, and here we are at the end of February announcing this efficient scheme that will open. It is now open for the enhanced support up to £100,000 and the hardship schemes of up to £2,500 and £5,000, and hopefully be sorted out in the next few weeks. These businesses have been waiting and waiting and waiting, and we are where we are. We need to get that money out to them. We also need to do a review so that in the future, if these things happen again in other places, it will not take 4 or 5 months before a single pound goes into people's pockets, try to help them to be able to get over something that has completely wrecked their business or their home. We also have the scheme where money can be released automatically from councils to help people in their homes, but there's no similar scheme for businesses. That was rejected when my colleague brought it to the executive a number of years ago. In places such as Downpatrick, we know that there is potential for the flooding to happen again. As most will know, we are only a couple of heavy rain days away from floods again in the future. So we need to see that review that is being carried out by the Department for Infrastructure, and we need to see it ASAP. If there are changes to be made to the tidal bridge, to the banks, or to dredging, those need to happen before businesses are left next autumn or winter in exactly the same position of being left for months and months and months with no help or assistance. Do we welcome this money? Yes. Is it timely? No. It's too late. But let's get it out to those that need it. And on the back of that, I would like to propose that Council can at least write to the Minister seeking an extension to the closing date of this current scheme in order to allow the businesses affected an opportunity to gain a further understanding of the process and gather the necessary documentation in order to ensure they're not missing out. Thank you.
Connor, could you, sorry, Councillor Kilbreath, could you put the wording of that proposal into the chat, just so that we do capture that? Councillor Hanlon?
Yes, Chair, thank you. Just to pick up on Councillor Gilbreath's comments, having listened into the Assembly debate last week, I think more or less a carbon copy of your colleague, Colin McGrath. So, you know, you've just basically reiterated what he had said in the Assembly. I would have to go back on your comments about not having agency and staff on the ground in Downpatrick. I think that is a bit of an insult to the council team who worked tirelessly round the clock, who were getting sandbags off rivers, who were standing there. I think it was the refuge team that were there at all hours in the morning trying to get stock out of shops and to support businesses. And then they were there on the ground thus far after that to clean up. So I do think that's a bit of a sweeping comment, and I think it is directed towards council staff. Yeah, it has been a lengthy process getting the money out. Is the money enough? No, it's not. But that is not the doing of the departments. That's because the Secretary of State hasn't allowed enough, you know, to cover this scheme. What I would say is that, you know, ministers who have taken on departmental responsibilities have listened to what the businesses needed. You know, they've made it a very wide scheme to try and pick up for whatever differences may be within different businesses, because it is a very intricate scheme in the terms of one business will be affected differently to another, and that presents challenges itself. But it has to be noted that the Minister of Economy worked as fast as he could when he did go into post to get the money out the door, and I don't think it's too late. I don't think any business in Newry, Morning Down or in Port of Down would say that it's too late for any money coming. They'll be welcoming it with open arms, in my opinion anyway.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Kilbreath, do you have a seconder for your proposal?
Councillor Derry.
Councillor Finn, you're seconding. You have a comment there?
Yeah, no, just it's actually just in relation to the appeals process, and I suppose a question more than a comment on that. Just to check, is there an appeals process for if there was an issue with the first payment scheme? Are you allowed to go back and appeal that, or can that be done under the appeals process of this scheme that is open? Just any clarity on that would be really useful.
Yep, go ahead, Connor.
The enhanced scheme that was launched last week has an appeals process that's in line with the council's appeals process used in financial assistance. That's in place, and that's what will be followed. The previous scheme didn't have an appeals process in place. However, we did address any queries or concerns that applicants who were ineligible. We responded and dealt with them accordingly. However, that scheme is now also closed, so there's no ability to revisit any of the applications from the original scheme because it's closed. The money has all been allocated and used in the calculations against the eligible funding for the next phase of the scheme.
I think just to be clear, if you weren't eligible, you know, I'd encourage you to fill the forms out again because the scheme has slightly changed, so there could be a different consideration this time. So I would encourage all businesses who think they may be eligible to fill the applications out.
And in addition to that, the hardship scheme, which will hopefully be launched next week, is to actually pick up on those who weren't eligible, but who suffered hardship either directly or indirectly from the flooding as well. So we would also encourage businesses to look out for the hardship scheme, the $2,500 and the $5,000 that will be made available next week.
Okay. Councillor Hanlon, are you looking back in?
Yeah, it's just in relation to the proposal. Should council, you know, accept this proposal, or would that not actually delay money going out to people or out to businesses? Because in my mind, I'm thinking if you extend it out, number one, you're extending it potentially into a new financial year, but also the council or the financial assistance scheme are not going to know the amount that is actually being requested from businesses. So are we actually maybe complicating and protracting it by asking for an extension? I know, and I take on board the points that were made earlier on around the workshops, and it is welcome that they're happening this week, and there may need to be other ones in order to help people complete their applications. But just to ask that question, if we extend it out, is it actually going to make it more complicated?
Chair,
extending the scheme would have a couple of issues. First of all, we have, as part of our letter of offer and part of the fund, we have to accrue $1.1 million expenditure within this financial year. To allow us to do that, we will have to have the application submitted and closed and a preliminary assessment to ensure that there is eligible costs incurred by those impacted businesses by the end of March this year. We don't have to spend the money, but we have to have evidence that the funding has been accrued. So therefore, if we don't close it on the 22nd of March, we don't have the time to carry out that preliminary assessment to confirm to the department that we have accrued the $1.1 million within this financial year. Secondly, any delay to the closing date would delay the assessment of the total sum of the applications that have been approved for the scheme to determine whether the scheme is still within the allocated funding envelope. So again, we can't start to issue payments until we understand that the volume of eligible applications submitted is within the allocated funding. Otherwise, we would have to then pro rata reduce any application if the applications are oversubscribed. So there's a couple of issues there in respect of extending the closing date.
Okay, thank you, Connor. Councillor Kelly.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Given that what you've just said there, Connor, around the issues in extending the scheme, and I appreciate why Councillor Galbraith brought the proposal, will the Council have a team or some sort of contact or point person in which businesses who are either not sure how to fill out the application or what documentation they require, will that be in place for businesses to go to?
Can I just respond? As we've said earlier, there's a workshop tomorrow in Downpatrick where Council staff will be in attendance to assist businesses with the application process. And I think there's one in Newry on Wednesday. So there's an opportunity for businesses to come and sit with the staff who have developed the application form and discuss any concerns or issues they have. And we're there to assist and help businesses complete the forms. And as we said earlier, if following that there is a demand for further workshops, we'll consider online workshops that businesses can also access and get that direct help.
Okay, thank you, Connor. Thanks, Sir Devlin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just in light of Connor's proposal behind me and what we've heard from Connor's director, I think when we withdraw that proposal as such, I suppose just run parallel to that, if maybe a letter could go to the Minister that if anybody was to lose out or was cut short of that deadline, could the scheme be opened up again for a second element, that wouldn't be sort of a dead stop. We appreciate what Connor... Your mic's... So to withdraw the proposal as such, but then to make a further proposal that a letter would go to the Minister, that basically was if anybody lost out and it was cut short and ran out of time, that the scheme could be opened up again or some sort of way. It does seem like a very, very tight window, and I appreciate the times involved. And the last thing we want to do would be to ask extend the scheme and to delay money going out as well, Una, so I take your points on board. Is that something we could maybe consider?
Yes, we can take that as a proposal. So the Councillor Cabrera's original proposal is withdrawn and new proposal to write to the Minister if anyone gets cut off. Could you put the words? And do we have a seconder then for that?
I can second that one.
Councillor Cabrera is second on that. Is everyone clear of the words off the proposal while Councillor Devlin types? Will not test you on your reading. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak on the item? Okay, thank you, Councillor Devlin. So the proposal is right to the Economy Minister asking that given the tight deadline, if a business applies after the 24th of March deadline, that a further scheme is opened up to ensure they do not. Is everyone content with that proposal? Yeah.
It's just a note. I think as elected reps, if we're in contact with any businesses, we should be encouraging them to get it in before the deadline for all the reasons that we discussed there. Absolutely no issue writing to the Economy Minister, but I wouldn't want it to be the narrative that you can wait until the deadline and then backtrack, because I think that will create more issues. But content to write to Minister Murphy.
Thanks, Sarah Devlin. You looking
back? Yeah, just really, I totally accept what you're saying, and I suppose it's been stressed to me in terms of Newry and Downpatrick. A lot of businesses might be sole traders and might be really struggling with it, the 20-day turnaround period that we're at now. But that was the only reason why we made that proposal. But yes, absolutely, get the applications in as soon as possible.
Right. Everyone's content. Okay, item 12 is the planning section, and there's no issues arising. Item 13 is the letter from the Department for Infrastructure regarding appointment to the Warm Point Harbour Authority.
That's my chair. That's my conflict of interest, and I'll leave the meeting at this point.
Okay, all right. Given you've a wee bit left, Lynn. By the time you get out the door, we'll be finished. So. Thank to say and then turn back. All right, so we had asked party group leaders and independent groups to submit names to Democratic Services. Sarah, with more than six councillors?
Nine. So, yeah, Chair, we have nine. So if we could just get a proposer and seconder for the nine names to be submitted.
May a proposer and seconder for the names that have been submitted. Proposed by Councillor Lee Sergner and seconded by Councillor Lewis. Everyone's content. All right, moving on then to item 14. I'll be chairing the last remote hybrid council meeting of this council for a while. So council remote and hybrid meetings. Is that yourself that's taking that, Marie?
Chair, just for members, we received this letter just on Friday past. All chief executives received it. What it effectively does is bring to an end the legislation that has enabled and facilitated hybrid working. So from Wednesday today is effectively our last hybrid meeting, statutory meeting of council. So from Wednesday, all committees that are statutory, so your council statutory council meeting, your committee meetings and your special council meetings will all have to be held in person in the council chamber that they have been listed as being the facility in which they're being held. But any meetings that we hold that are non-statutory, so working groups, workshops, DEA meetings, all of those types of things, we will still hold, if members are in agreement, we would still hold those in a hybrid fashion as we see have been I suppose, most appropriate. I would actually suggest, because this has kind of been landed on us as councils on Friday, that anything to do with anything that is not statutory, we will have a discussion of party leaders and bring something back just through the SPNR, so that we're all very clear that that is the direction of travel of council, if everybody's in agreement with that. But I have to say, you have to be in physical attendance for any committee meetings from today on, basically, from Wednesday when the legislation falls.
Okay. Councillor Kelly, was your Q&P before item 14 for item 14 and you've put it back in, so I'll take you first.
Thank you, Chair. I wasn't sure if you caught it or not. But yeah, I suppose you probably really covered it there, Marie, but just in terms of the last paragraph of the letter indicates that the department might bring in some regulations regarding hybrid meetings. So just in terms of the guidance you've received, then does that mean all meetings will be suspended? There's no grace period whatsoever in terms of hybrid. Okay, that's grand. If you don't mind, Chair, I can make a quick proposal on the back of that. Given that hybrid meetings benefits a lot of us, I'm sure, particularly those on parental leave, caring responsibilities, people who are unwell or long-term sick, or even any other official business, This will significantly disadvantage, particularly, I feel, women as well, as they tend to be the main carers of family and children. Chair, I propose that we would write to the Minister to outline these issues and ask the Minister that if he does intend to bring in regulations or legislation to continue hybrid meetings, what would they be and when would the timeline of that be brought in? That would be my proposal, Chair.
Okay. Can you just put that in the text there? So, sorry, are you proposing to write to the Minister to ask what would future regulations or legislation look like rather than suggesting what the regulations and legislation looks like?
Or if he is considering and bringing in regulations, he does sort of insinuate that they may do and sort of what timeline that would be, especially outlining that it would disadvantage some groups in attending meetings.
Okay. All right. That's been seconded by Councillor Hanlon. So it has. Councillor Hanlon?
I would have been making a similar proposal. I think the Minister has acted very quickly here, you know, and he hasn't really listened to the consultation that was carried out previously. Certainly, it's always better to be in the chamber and be present and to debate amongst each other. But I think there is space, and I think we all have very, very busy lives, and we all have a lot of other commitments. So in particular, if you've got current responsibilities, dependents, you're maybe working full time right up to the time of a meeting, you're caught in traffic, all these things allow us to be able to carry on our work as elected reps with that degree of flexibility. So I do think he needs to go back and consider, the removal of hybrid completely, and just, you know, take another look at it, because the last thing we want, that we're undemocratic and we can't let people go to meetings for, you know, just for very simple reasons.
Thanks, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor O'Reilly.
Sorry, Chairman. Sorry, Marie's already answered the last
question. Okay. Perfect. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And Marie had answered the query I had about no working groups and everything, but also at National Association of Councillor level, we are doing a lot of work with issues. If you can contact Alderman O'Dowell and Councillor Billy Webb, they're your reps on the NAC, and they should be able to furnish you with what's going on. And so all parties are working at NAC level, dealing with a lot of issues of what you've raised here, and so just to let us know what we're doing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Councillor Devlin.
Thank you. I think most of the points have been covered, but I just did want to make a point myself as somebody who did have two young children, obviously, prior to the introduction of the new regulations. You know, for a good, with not being able to drive at the start, for a good maybe 3 to 4 months, I missed out attending any meetings at that stage. I think that, you know, your constituents aren't being represented. I think it really is anti-family as well, and I think we are supporting women and we want new people to come on board. It's really, really important. So I'd be more than happy to support Tiernan's proposal in terms of that of us going back, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, just bring Marie back in.
Yeah, Chair, just also to say, so we will still, and we need to just look at how we manage this, but we will still manage this in a way that the media can come in via the Teams app so that they can still actually access it without having to attend the chamber. But we just need to look, we have very detailed protocols around how we manage the meeting hybridly, but we'll do the same now for the media coming in and just make sure everybody's clear. We'll communicate that to them over the next couple of days as we move towards the first committee meeting, which will be next Monday for ERT, so the media are very clear just as how they can continue to engage. And as I said, we'll bring forward hybrid FPNR, just as we're all very clear that anything that's non-statutory can be managed in that hybrid manner, if that's the will of council.
Okay. Sarah Dow, do you have the word enough, Councillor Kelly's proposal, all right? No. Yeah. Councillor Kelly, if you could email just the word enough your proposal to Democratic Services just for the minutes. Is everyone content with the proposal? Yep. All right. Moving on then. And it's the next item is item 15, which is the correspondence report. It's for information. Need a proposal and seconder for them first. Proposed by Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Enright. Okay.
Chair, just to highlight to members, we've done this in a new format rather than listing all of the letters as separate items. We're now just doing a correspondence report so people can pick up the appendices then within the discuss.
Okay. All right. Don't know how I'm going to order these all into particular ones, but we'll go Councillor Fien first, and then if there's anyone that's on the same item, we'll take you in.
Thanks, Chair. I was hoping to come in on Appendix 3 on the correspondence, which was from Derry City and Strabane Council regarding the violence in Gaza. And, Chair, I would definitely welcome the correspondence received from Derry City and Strabane Council, in which they express their concern and alarm at the continuing humanitarian devastation in Gaza. And whilst I'm comfortable in offering support for the principles outlined in their motion and associated correspondence, I would sincerely hope that the mechanisms it proposes would never have to be utilised. And the reason that I say that is because, as somebody who has spent considerable periods of time in Palestine over the last 10 years, I know firsthand that Palestinians would detest the prospect of being forced to leave their homeland and have to seek shelter in a foreign country. I mean, forced displacement has been at the crux of their woes since 1947. Chair, the proposal I would like to make on the back of the correspondence from Derry City and Strabane District Council is that this council would initiate the process of twinning Newry with the city of Ramallah. Twin city relationships are long standing, but they came to prominence during the Second World War when the concept emerged as a way of establishing solidarity links between cities that endured similar hardships or devastating events. And while I would never attempt to draw equivalence between the sufferings of Palestinians and our own experiences here, there are undoubtedly parallels between the two, chief amongst them being enduring the transgressions of unaccountable power. The first documented examples of cities twinning in solidarity were during the Second World War, and the simple rationale behind such twinning was that little help is better than big sympathy, and that encapsulates the motivation behind my proposal. The vast majority of us feel a profound sense of despair, not knowing what can be done to meaningfully support the Palestinian people. I believe that formally twinning Newry with the city of Ramallah, Palestine's administrative capital, would essentially send up a flare of support, making it clear to the Palestinian people that we stand in solidarity with them, that we recognise their suffering, and that we're determined to let the world know that their pain is our pain. I believe that this is the best way that we can stand shoulder to shoulder with the people of Palestine. So, Chair, in short, I propose that this council initiates the twinning process by writing to the Mayor of Ramallah, Issa Cassis, indicating our desire to do so. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Sir Finn. Can you put the wording of that into the chat, please, just so all members have visibility of it, and a seconder? Second by Councillor Devlin. Okay. Councillor Enright, I'll come back to you because you're on item 6 of this item. Councillor King, are you on the correspondence from Derry City and Strabane?
Yes, I am, Chair. Thanks very much. And yeah, look, just to keep it very brief, it's really just to welcome the correspondence from Derry and Strabane, and we believe every action laid out within the letter and motion should be implemented. It's been great to see strong solidarity shown in all councils across the island. And as you all know, it's just unbelievable of what is taking place right in front of everyone. The humanitarian displacement that is happening will be unimaginable, and it is unimaginable. The genocide needs to end now, and a ceasefire needs to happen, so thanks very much.
Thanks, Sir Mathers. Is yours on the same item or a different item?
No, Chair, it was Appendix 2 I wanted to comment on.
Okay, I'll bring you back in. Is there anyone else on item 3.3 of this item before I put the proposal to a vote? No. Is everyone in agreement with that proposal? I'm saying no, so we'll need to take a roll call of the vote.
Councillor Andrews?
For.
Councillor Bisey?
Against.
Councillor Brennan?
100% for.
Councillor Burton is an apology. Councillor Campbell?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Devlin?
For.
Councillor Enright?
For.
Councillor Feehan?
For.
Councillor Finn?
For.
Councillor Finnegan?
4. Councillor Galbraith.
4.
Councillor Gibbons.
4.
Councillor Hanlon.
4.
Councillor Hannah.
Against.
Councillor Hartson, apology. Councillor Howell, apology. Councillor Jackson.
Against.
Councillor Kearns.
4.
Councillor Kelly.
4.
Councillor King.
4.
Councillor Larkin.
4.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
4.
Councillor Lewis.
Against.
Councillor McGuinness.
4.
Councillor Mathers.
4.
Councillor McAteer. Apology. Councillor McAvoy, an apology. Councillor McMurray.
4.
Councillor O'Hare.
4.
Councillor Declan Murphy.
4.
Councillor Kate Murphy.
4.
Councillor Selena Murphy. Apology. Councillor Quinn.
4.
Councillor Riley.
Abstain.
Councillor Rice. Councillor Wan.
4.
Councillor Sharvin.
4.
Councillor Taylor.
Yes.
Councillor Tinley.
4.
Councillor Treesdale.
4.
I have 29 for, 5 against, and 1 abstention.
That's carried. Okay. Councillor Enright, you're on item 3.6 of this, so go ahead.
Thanks, Chair. The Minister has gave us an excellent reply detailing the maintenance regime for all the main trenches and ditches that we asked him for, but there were two omissions. One was the Belfast Road Bridge in Downpatrick and the 1934 tidal barrier, which I visited these two sites with the Chair of the Drainage and Flooding Council, Alan Strong, and we did note that they were both blocked prior to the floods entering the town. So I'm just asking that we write back seeking the same maintenance data about the Belfast Road Bridge and the 1934 tidal barrier, and seek clarity as to when they were dug out in order to unblock them in the recent floods, Chair. I'll type that up and send it to you.
Just need a seconder for that, Councillor Enright. Second by Councillor Treesdale. Everyone in agreement with that proposal to write back to the Minister? Yep. Okay. Then it's Councillor Mathers. You're on 3.2, Bank of Ireland correspondence.
Thanks, Chair. Very quickly, the response from the banks is welcome, but not the outcome that we'd hoped for. Fact remains that access to euro cash is very limited across the district. Take into account the sheer numbers of people who are working in the south but have limited access to cash. The all-island economy is thriving. People are shopping on both sides of the border, so this should be encouraged and assisted by our financial institutions. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Mathers. Councillor Treesdale, which item is it?
Appendix 6.
Appendix 6, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a response from Minister O'Dowd. And the last sort of sentence, he makes it very clear that the Department for Infrastructure is responsible for protecting the drainage of designated watercourses, and non-designated watercourses are the responsibility of the riparian landowner. So I just wanted to draw attention to a specific area in Newcastle, Park, Islands Park, watercourses on both sides, and a main river running through the middle. They're currently blocked, the shucks, as they would be known. They've been deemed by the Department for Infrastructure as belonging to the riparian landowner, which is the council. So I've asked Infrastructure for a list of designated and non-designated watercourses, and I wanted to know, do the council hold a similar table that's in the letter showing the designated and non-designated watercourses? Because it's taken far too long to sort out the flooding that's going on there. Thank you.
We don't hold such a list, but we can certainly take a look and see if there's an issue there, and if it is, the responsibility of council.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, members. So moving on then to item 16, the newest. Sorry, Councillor Andrews. Apologies.
Are you okay, Chair? Thank you very much.
Appendix 4 you're looking
at? Yes, just in relation to, just again, it's good to see councillors replying to
a recent motion on the cystic fibrosis and the medication and all, and hopefully the, with the responses that it will encourage the powers to be to make sure that those who suffer from cystic fibrosis do get the best start in life. So I'm happy to see the letters coming in slowly but surely in regard to such an important matter. But thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you. Apologies about that. Item 16 then is the newest motion, Democratic Improvements in Council's Financial Assistance Programme. Councillor Bowsey, Understanding Orders 16.16. This has been referred to the ERT Committee. So if you can read out your motion and inform us who's seconding it.
This council notes with concern, one, the scale of dissatisfaction from community groups who were disallowed vital community funding from council in 2023, two, a drop in SLA funding to community groups by 42% from the previous year, the largest decrease in this council's history, three, the absence of any member of the appeals panel being independent of council, four, the lack of a right of appeal for applicants who are rejected at stage one, even when the rejection is caused by a council error. Five, the reluctance of council to acknowledge ambiguous and flawed application questions which elicit inadequate answers. And six, the onus of councillors to approve all community funding recommendations presented to them without any detail whatsoever on the application and the reason for its approval or rejection. And therefore, this council calls on senior officials to acknowledge and resolve these democratic shortcomings in its financial assistance programme. And this will be seconded by Councillor Lewis.
Okay, thank you. So that will go to the next CRT committee. All right. Item 17 is the newest motion of projected rates increase and Understanding Orders 16.1.6 has been referred the SPNR committee. So, Councillor Enright, if you can read out your newest motion and inform us who's seconding it.
Thanks, Chair. In view of cost of living pressures on ratepayers, Council must tailor its investment plans to what the people of Muir Mhòr and Down can actually afford. Current projected rate increases in our Council over the next few years are unsustainable, both in the short term and longer term. This requires a root and branch re-examination of proposed capital expenditure with any non-essential projects with a negative rate of return council to make rates affordable in the medium term. In particular, council directs management to prepare costing for councillors of a downsized Newry Civic Centre project with suitable office accommodation for Newry-based staff only. Alternate sites should be considered, like Bagnall's Castle, Lidl site that only came on the market in December 2023. This should take account of the loss of the civil service as an anchor tenant, the need to avoid speculative development in line with UK Department of Finance guidance for councils, the collapse of the office market in Ireland, the GB since COVID, and since council voted to initiate this project in August 2019, an examination of any more affordable or appropriate sites. If we aim to preserve the 130,000 plus per annum income stream from the Abbey Way car park, these costings should include an option to remove the second fully featured council chamber as an unnecessary luxury. A cost-benefit case for this project should likewise be prepared, showing the annual savings from leaving the current premises versus the annual cost of operating these new premises to ensure councillors are fully informed. Council notes that no such operational cost-benefit case exists at the moment. Council requests management to bring forward the above costings as soon as possible. You're seconding that, aren't you?
Yeah. Okay. So, seconded by Councillor Truesdale. All right. Item 18 is the notice motion of rail service between Belfast and Dublin, including scheduled stops in Newry. Councillor Finn, this will be heard. If you want to read out your motion, speak to it, and then inform us who your seconder is.
Thanks, Chair. There's just a slight addendum to the motion at the end, so I'll read the full motion and I'll drop it into chat, including the amendments. So, Newry, Mhòr and Down District Council notes the disparity between Newry and Portadown rail stations in morning commuter services to Belfast, welcomes the announcement by the Irish Government of €12.5 million in funding for a new RD service between Belfast and Dublin, asks that this council write to the Department for Infrastructure and the Irish Government requesting a commitment from both that the proposed new hourly rail service between Dublin and Belfast will include scheduled stops at Newry train station in both directions, with a particular focus on ensuring that the morning and evening commuter departure times from both Belfast, from both Newry and Belfast should facilitate normal work starting times, and furthermore that council writes to TransLink to gauge demand for additional commuter services from Newry train station. And the motion will be seconded by Councillor Finn.
If you want to speak to the motion.
Yeah, I'll try and keep it brief, Chair. The reason that I brought the motion before the council is to highlight and address the stark disadvantage that Newry people find themselves in with respect to commuting to both Belfast and Dublin. At present, there are 8 scheduled morning train services per day from Portadown to Belfast, arriving before 9 a.m. By comparison, Newry only has 1. So commuters travelling from Portadown are able to avail of a service departing every 20 minutes from 6 a.m. through to 8:20, all of which guarantee arrival in Belfast before 9 o'clock. Commuters in Newry have 1 option, and that is to depart at 25 to 7 and arrive at 25 to 8. In terms of commuting to Dublin, there are 4 morning services departing Dundalk, which have commuters in Connolly Station before 9, as opposed to just 1 from Newry. Again, I think it would be valuable to know how many, Newry commuters are commencing their journeys from Dundalk in the morning rather than their local station. And that would apply for Portadown as well, and that would raise legitimate concerns around the viability or the credibility of decarbonising public transport when inadequate services from Newry could arguably be given rise to unnecessary car journeys to more adequately serviced stations. The disparities in servicing are all, again, evident in evening commutes. There are 7 trains departing Belfast for Portadown between 5 and 7, as opposed to just 3 for Newry. And there are 2 departures between Dublin and Newry between 5 and 7, contrasted with 3 between Dublin and Dundalk in the same time frame. I believe that the Council will be well placed in recognising and seeking to harness the potential contained within the Irish Government's announcement of a €12.5 million investment in running an hourly enterprise service between Dublin and Belfast. It's my view that the Council should be lobbying governments north and south, TransLink and Irish Rail, to ensure that Newry is included as a permanent fixed stop on those proposed hourly services, with a particular emphasis on the need for an uplift in service frequency for both morning and evening commutes to both Belfast and Dublin. So I hope that this motion is recognised for what it is, a genuine attempt to close the gap between Newry and other places with respect to rail services, and I hope that we can count on the support of other parties in trying to make that happen. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. You're seconding?
Yeah, absolutely. No, just to say I'm really pleased to be seconding this motion. As somebody who does actually commute from Newry to Belfast a number of days a week, it is incredibly frustrating that you kind of are left if you're going into an office for 9 o'clock that you aren't able to get public transport. And I think I would love to see that TransLink actually undertake some form of survey, because it's a kind of chicken and egg situation at the minute, that if the service demand isn't there in the morning because people aren't going to make it to work on time, obviously then they aren't going to put on more trains. So I think there is a cyclical issue, which I'm glad to see addressed with the addendum. And just to say that obviously we all need to be doing more to kind of look at active travel and make sure that there are less cars on the road. And I think, you know, it's a greener way to travel, and it's something that I would really, really enjoy as a commuter to be able to do. So I think it's important that we try and ensure those facilities for people going forward.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Finn. Councillor King.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, look, there's no doubt workers from across the district would be delighted to hear that part of the Irish Government's financial package for the North includes €12.5 million to provide an hourly Dublin to Belfast rail service. This is very welcome news. As we know, capacity on the enterprise is currently stretched and there's an appetite for better services. Sinn Féin believes the promise of an hourly service from Dublin is fantastic news. We have consistently called for improved connections between Ireland's 2 main cities to support the growing needs of business, retail and tourism. This will create greater access for jobs and opportunities, help to tackle the climate emergency, and will provide a boost to the thriving island economy. So we must continue to invest in our rail network and improve connectivity across this island. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Kelly.
Thanks, Chair. We very much welcome the Shared Island funding announced by the Irish Government last month, which also includes the Government's commitment to Narrow Water Bridge, which I'm sure is also very welcome. The rail halt in Newry promotes cross-border trade, tourism and opportunity, and I welcome the commitment toward a 1-hour travel time for the Belfast to Dublin service.
Recently, Chair, I actually travelled to Dublin with the Centre for Democracy and Peace Fellowship alongside a number of other politicians and leaders in Northern Ireland. And we attended a seminar with Citibank in Dublin in which we discussed with senior staff about the travel time between Dublin and Belfast. And one of the main things that was brought up was that a one-hour travel time between the two cities would definitely boost business across the border and also support communication with their two offices. The inclusion of regular stops and journeys to and from Newry, I believe, will also connect our district to both the major cities, Belfast and Dublin, and will do so in a sustainable way. And Alliance very much promote investment in our rail services to promote one, public transport, but also to tackle the climate emergency and decarbonise our public transport, which I know my other colleagues have mentioned. So yes, Chair, in summary, we very much support this. Definitely promotes cross-border links. It promotes our own district connecting with Dublin and Belfast, and also tackles the climate emergency, Chair. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Finn. If you want to sum up.
Yeah, again, just keep it brief. I think it's obviously like the announcement from the Irish government through the Shared Island Fund was most certainly a welcome one. I'm grateful for the support across the chamber. And after the Alliance Party conference this weekend, I'm not at all surprised to have their support. They're tripping over themselves to get to Dublin. Thanks very much.
Okay. Is everyone in agreement with the proposal and the amendment? Yes, taken as a yes. Okay, moving on then. So the motion's been carried. Item 19 is the notice of motion, Northern Ireland Public Service Ombudsman's complaints. And Councillor Devlin, you are proposing, and just inform who's seconding it, please. I'll be heard at Council.
Yep, thank you, Chair. Councillor Hamill will be seconding the motion. A slight amendment, it was very, very small. Instead of the Executive Office, it's just writing to the Northern Ireland Assembly's Audit Committee. So just the motion is read. This Council expresses its concern at the processing time for NIPSO complaints, noting that some investigations can take up to 4.5 years. This Council calls on the Northern Ireland Assembly's Audit Committee to assess whether the staffing levels for the NIPSO are adequate so determinations can be made in a timely manner. So in terms of speaking to the motion, Chair, as a body, the Northern Ireland Public Service Organisation plays an essential role in promoting good governance, improving accountability in public administration and addressing individual cases. The work of NIPSO is designed to be proactive. It plays an essential role in promoting the Councillor's Code of Conduct, a code which is so vitally important in protecting the public, other elected members and council officials. Having come through a number of turbulent years in politics with such significant democratic deficit, with the Assembly only having sat for 2 of the last 7 years, this democratic deficit resulted in an undermining of public confidence and trust in our political institutions, and so the need for bodies such as NIPSO has never been greater. However, the facts are actually quite stark. Since its establishment in 2016, the number of complaints made to NIPSO have only increased, with a slight reduction during COVID. Between 2016 and 2021, complaints registered increased by 94%. The following years, they increased again by 23%. The best way to address these complaints is through early resolution and effective communication. This ensures the correct outcome and public confidence in such bodies and members is maintained. Despite this, we are seeing multiple instances in which it takes NIPSO and the Local Government Commissioner for Standards over 4 years to make a determination on any given case. This only detracts from public confidence and just isn't acceptable. The budget allocation for NIPSO over previous years has not been aspirational and does not reflect the importance of the body. In 2021-22, the budget allocation for NIPSO was $3.6 million and has remained marginally the same since then, despite the increases that I've mentioned. When launching the draft budget last year, the Secretary of State said that cuts to the Northern Ireland Office and NIPSO is problematic in practice and in principle due to the essential scrutiny role that such bodies carry out. He went on to say they were an effective opposition in some cases to aspects of government waste and failure to reform. For this evening, Chair, I wanted to highlight these delays, put on record our real concern for the processing times, and ask for the issue to be escalated to the Assembly's Audit Committee for review and improvement. And public confidence is so important, and such delays, as we've seen in recent times, serves no one. So just concluding, Chair, I'm really pleased that all the group leaders agreed to sign this notice of motion this evening. I thank them for that, and I look forward to any contributions that come this evening. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. And who was saying
then? Councillor Hanlon, sorry.
Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, I'm not going to reiterate what Councillor Devlin said, and I think she made her point very articulately. What I would say is it's quite obvious 4.5 years is a long time. You know, you could be dealing with an issue where maybe a council or council official could be actually gone out of the said institution within that period of time. And I do think if there's more resources needed to try and address that backlog, then, you know, that's something that would need to happen ASAP.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. Laura, I think, articulated it very well, so she did there, and quite honestly, us in the DUP group would fully support every single word Laura has said. 4.5 years is just unbelievable, so it is. And as Una said there, the individual or whoever it would be probably will be moved on, so they will. So any consequences there are such a levered by a decision at that stage of no importance or no impact on that particular individual. So, quite honestly, Laura, we will be seconding you and 100% agree with every word you and Una have said.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Lee Sargeant.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Laura, for this motion. We fully support this motion. An organisation should be fully equipped, well-staffed, that any investigations can be completed and resolved as efficiently as possible. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, Chair, thanks very much. Very, very briefly again, I was very happy to put my name to the motion as well, and I think Laura has articulated all the concerns that every one of us have in terms of the effectiveness, in terms of the time frames that are in place at this present time in terms of taking investigations. So there obviously are resources issues that need to be looked at. Certainly hope that they're given the consideration that they deserve and need. And now some that makes sure that any investigation, any complaint that's dealt with, that is dealt with in an effective and swift manner. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Devlin, if you want to sum up.
Yeah, just very briefly, Chair, thanks everybody for their contributions there. And I think also it's great to see a united message coming from our council being sent off. So thank you, Chair.
Okay, everyone in favour? So the motion's carried with the amendment as it is. So we'll move on to item 20. There's no submission of Newry Market under Standing Order 16.1.6. This will go to the Sustainability and Environment Committee. So Councillor Finn, if you want to read out your motion and inform us who your seconder is.
Yeah, Newry Mourne and Down District Council embraces the historic importance of Newry as a market town and acknowledges with concern the lower than expected attendance at our local market. Newry Mourne and Down District Council commits to revitalising the market through engagement with traders, the business community and other potential stakeholders. Council officers will reach out to local councils with successful markets such as Belfast and Galway and explore additional uses to encourage footfall, including with our arts and community groups, and that's going to be seconded by Councillor Fahan.
Okay, all right, members, that's us the meeting. Stay at home.
Oh,
I heard the seconder. Is there a fame?
Sorry.
Oh. All right, that's us. Stay at home. Thank you very much.